This is our town.
Welcome to a brand new ep of the Everything Limestone Coast podcast. It's exclusive to listener, and we are talking art today. Riddoch Arts and Cultural Centre, the curator down there, has got some great news for anybody who has an idea for some artwork in the Blue Lake City. We're going to talk to Tony Passon all about volunteers, and then it is time to talk sport around the Limestone Coast. I am talking women's footy grand finals. I am talking basketball, first home games of the season, and I am talking the start of what is going to be massive seasons for the KNT and the Mid-Southeast. Let's get it all underway. Let's talk art. Let's catch up with Ashley from the Riddoch Arts and Cultural Centre. Ashley, g'day.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Ashley, we're talking about the Beacon Art Project. What's it all about and what can you tell me?
So the Beacon Art Project is a City of Mount Gambier initiative inviting artists to express proposals for a major art project which will be on permanently installed within the CBD here. And the idea is that a beacon attracts attention. It will be an iconic landmark for our city, and the expression of interest invites artists to respond specifically to the City of Mount Gambier's people, place and history. So it's going to be something that is really relevant to our place.
Now, Ashley, am I right to say that one of the Beacon Art projects has just come to fruition in the Railland?
Yeah, well, that is actually something from our Creative Arts Funds. That's Lucy Bonin's mural, which is receiving a lot of positive feedback, which is fabulous.
So these are the sort of things that we want to create in our city, though, and that's what the Beacon Art Project is all about.
Absolutely, yeah. It's opportunities for us to help build some civic pride, connect with each other and our identity, and also, you know, I guess put us on the map creatively in a way. I think if you look at other Beacon Art projects that people might be familiar with, like Bert Fliegelman's Rundle Balls, it is a great example. You know, meet me at the Mall's Balls is a very common phrase, and we'd love to have something that's equally as iconic here in Mount Gambier.
So how can people find out more about the Beacon Art Project and maybe put a proposal together?
Sure. So they can visit the City of Mount Gambier's website, the Riddoch's website. All of our social media has information about it. Artists have until the 30th of April to submit their proposals, which will be assessed by a panel. So that consisting of myself, City of Mount Gambier executive leadership, and some industry independent professionals.
Hey Ash, great to talk to you this morning. Thank you for dropping by.
Oh, no worries, Ewan. Thank you. This is our
town. Tony Passon is waiting patiently to chat to me. I wanted to talk to Tony because there is great stuff going on in the world of volunteering at the moment. National Volunteer Week is coming up, and Tony is looking to recognise volunteers across the Limestone Coast. Tony, what can you tell me about what is going on?
Well, National Volunteer Week is Australia's largest annual celebration of volunteering. It's held between the 20th and the 26th of May every year, and I thought, what a better way to acknowledge volunteers than to do it in National Volunteer Week. And so what I'm calling on is people in the community to nominate, you know, that person at your sporting club or your community organisation otherwise that goes above and beyond. So nominate them for a Barker Volunteer Award.
Now, this is something that's gone on for at least a couple of years now.
Yeah, this is in this format. It's the second year that I've run the program. It was really successful last year, but we've had the call out for about a week for volunteer nominations, and I'm not a word of a lie, they are literally flooding into the office.
We have some incredible people doing amazing things across the entire electorate of Barker. It's really open for anybody who does any form of volunteering.
Well, that's right. You know, the most recent statistics show us that around 6 million Australians volunteer on a regular and ongoing basis. So you can imagine there are tens of thousands of people in Barker for whom volunteering is almost their full-time gig. But you can volunteer, you can nominate someone who volunteers, you know, huge hours or volunteers a particular skill. You know, and it doesn't have to be someone who seeks the limelight. Often the best volunteers are those people that quietly go about their business of volunteering, not seeking reward. And this is an opportunity for us as a community to stop, pause, and simply acknowledge their efforts.
Now, I know for a fact there were volunteers at Fringe. I know that there are volunteers at the basketball each and every week that we have a home game. Doesn't matter where you have volunteered. If you're a volunteer in any capacity in the Limestone Coast, Tony wants to hear about it. Tony, how can we make a nomination?
Well, the best way to nominate someone is to get in contact with my office, either over the phone or via Facebook. Forms are available on Facebook. They're also available on the website. It's probably a bit easier to contact the office, get the form, or grab the form off Facebook.
You can nominate now for the Barker Volunteer Awards. Jump onto Facebook. Give the office a call. Tony, thanks for dropping in this morning.
Thanks, Ewan.
This is our town. It's the Everything Limestone Coast podcast. We're talking sport, and on the weekend, Mid-Southeast got underway, and what a cracking weekend of footy it was. Peter Mitchell is on the line. Pete, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan. Good morning, listeners.
Now, mate, what a start to the season for you guys. Some great games, some blowouts, some close calls as well. What can you tell me?
We'll run through the games. So in the A-grade games, for the weekend, we had Mount Burr playing Kongrong down at Kongrong. Mount Burr were too good for the Kongrong lads. 13-9-87, defeated Kongrong 2-7-19. In the goals for Mount Burr, Jack Gregory kicked 4. Kongrong a couple of singles for Luke McIntyre and coach Cam Sandico. The best for Mount Burr was Sam Wallace, and the best for Kongrong was Tom Hunter. The next game I've got is Robe playing Tantanola. Robe, too good for Tant, 14-12-96, defeated Tant 6-4-40. Robe, in the goals for Robe, Jed Jarrett kicked 5 for Tant, Braden Rowley got 2. The best for Robe was Zach Dean, and for Tantanola, James McDonald. Heavily, the next game, Heavily versus Glen Cove, very good game this one. Heavily, 15-18, defeated Glen Cove 15-4-94. And in the goals for Heavily, Tom Hutchison kicked 6. And for Glen Cove, Patrick Mitchell kicked 5. Best for Heavily was Tom Hutchison. And for Glen Cove, Zach Cox. Port Macdonald and Clangadoo, another good game between last year's grand finalists. And this time, Clangadoo and Port Mac. Port Mac finished third last year. Clangadoo were the premiers. Port Mac, too good for Clangadoo on Saturday. 16-10-106, defeated Clangadoo 11-11-77. In the goals for Port Macdonald, Tim Sullivan kicked 6. For Clangadoo, Michael Krieger got 3. And the best for Port Macdonald, the old warhorse himself, Will McDonald. And for Haverley, for Clangadoo, James Pratt. Player of the round was Tom Hutchison from Haverley, 0-4-0. So Tom had a great game. He's the coach of Haverley, and yeah, he was particularly damaging with his 6 goals.
Peter, it's going to be great to watch the footy unfold over the course of what is going to be a cracking season. Thanks for dropping by this morning to talk about it.
No worries. Thanks. Thanks, Ewan. Thanks, listeners. This is our
town. Talking more footy on the weekend. Limestone Coast Women's Football, the grand final, took place at Mundalla. A bloke has been talking to us right through the season. Tony Ellison, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan. Thanks for having me. And yeah, what a great weekend to finish off with.
Absolutely. 2 cracking games. What can you tell me about them?
Well, the first one in the B-grade grand final, Penola played South Gambia. Penola were favourites. And South Gambia actually came from the elimination final to get, you know, they won the elimination final, then won the preliminary final last week. So they've done a great job to get to the grand final. But Penola, you know, they were probably a little bit unlucky not to make the A-grade final. So in all reality, you would probably expect Penola to win, but South Gambia just continue to have a crack, and they should be really proud of their season from where they've come from. And in the end, though, Penola were just too strong. 7-6 to South Gambia 1-2. Carolyn McGrath, Elise Birkin and Chloe McDiamond for Penola were the best players. And for South, Jara Olswager, Alicia Stevens and Sophie White were the best players for South Gambia.
Now, Tony, the A-grade grand final, that was a cracking game at Mundalla.
Yeah, look, so, I mean, obviously, Mundalla probably were the favourites all year, but when Kirby sort of made their way through, North Gambia would have been, you know, they wouldn't have been, relaxing, but they would have thought, oh, geez, it's probably going to be maybe a little bit is a bit easier than having to play Mandala, but Kiabi are just such an amazing women's football club and have done such an amazing job. And North, it was close all day. So I think at halftime, Kiabi were up by 10 points. And then at three-quarter time, North had scratched their way back in front and looked like they were going to go on with it. And they were up by 3 points. But Kiabi got themselves back in front. And then North Gambier had a shot after the siren to win the game. But heartbreakingly for them, it didn't go through. And Kiabi finished off a bit of a fairy tale run to come from the first semi-final, elimination final, through the prelim and then win the grand final by 4 points. So full credit to Kiabi. To do it that way is just unbelievable. And to think that's the way we finished the season, we just couldn't be happier. So for North, some of their better players are Alice Tentai, Georgia Gentile and Chloe Perriman. And for Kiabi, it was Jetta Huff, Marion Thompson and Deli Brown. So what a great way to finish the season, and looking forward to next year.
Hey, Tony, what's next for girls footy in the Limestone Coast from here on for the rest of the year?
Yeah, so we've got the Limestone Coast Regional Sporting Academy working with the junior girls and working with Glenelg on their junior academy, which is going to provide some really great pathways. We've had a couple of really good young girls from here make their way up to the Crows or the Glenelg or in that sort of SANFL area. So we're going to make sure we keep building those. And then the committee, the Limestone Coast Women's Football League committee, are meeting shortly to discuss how it all looks, because at the moment it's football 12 months of the year. And for a lot of volunteers, that's a pretty tough ask. So watch this space, and there may be an opportunity to maybe change the timing of the seasons going forward. We're not sure about that, but we'll do what's best. But yeah, certainly the under-16s and the senior women's have just gone from strength to strength, and I think it's just a great competition to have, and really exciting to see what the future holds.
Tony, cannot wait to talk again. We'll catch up during the course of the year. Thanks for keeping us up to date with girls footy right the way across the season. It's been a cracker.
Good on you, Ewan, and thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
This is our town. G'day, listeners. Good morning. What a beautiful weekend for football. Actually, I will talk about another game that happened on Sunday, the women's footy. You're probably already over that, but there's two cracking games at Mandala on a beautiful sunny day, and it came down to the last kick of the game. The North Gambier full forward took a great mark with 20 seconds to go. She's 35 metres out. They're 5 points down. If she kicks the goal, they win. If she misses, they lose. And unfortunately, she just missed. But what a cracking game of football for women's footy in the Limestone Coast up at the Mandala ground. That was a cracking game.
Kiabi winning the A-grade grand final. Panola winning by 40 points in the B-grade grand final. It was a huge weekend. Now, mate.
And it was Sunday, and after Saturday, well, I thought you couldn't get any more football than what we did. But on the Saturday, Keith ventured up to Bordertown and had a narrow victory over Bordertown there. So that was a good close game with two heavy hitters. Kiabi had a great win, came from behind with young Charlie Hillier kicking four goals. When they kicked 9-17, they needed someone to kick straight over Lucendale, who were very good. So that was 9 goals each. Mandala, ooh, they rocked up down to Panola in the Rolls-Royce and gave Panola a bit of a touch-up. Everything went their way. They played very well in a big win. And Padthaway had a very big win over Narracourt there. So that was some convincing winners and three close ones and two blowouts. But the clubs will blow the cobwebs out and they'll be right and better off for next week.
Now, Peter, player of the week, who's it going to be?
Charlie Hillier, young guy, played well, local kid. Kicked the goals. I think he kicked the last 2 goals of the game to win in the match. What an effort.
From Kiabi Bolai. And looking ahead to this weekend's round of matches, round two, how are we looking in the footy?
I don't think you can go past, actually, Keith and Border Districts. So heading up to Keith there. That's a top three favourites there playing each other. So that'll be a cracking game. Then Lucendale, Bordertown. Both of those teams will want to get a win on the board to get their season going. And the Mandala and Kiabi, that's going to be another cracking game too. Narracourt and Panola, two teams who struggled last week. They'll want to get on there, so that'll be good. And then Kingston and Padthaway. Kingston will be a lovely place to get to this time of year, so that's the games to get to. But Keith and Border Districts is the match of the round.
Peter, we're going to catch up next week. We're going to talk footy across the season. I cannot wait for it. Great start to the season, though. We'll talk next week.
Thank you very much. Get the football, life, guys, people.
This is our town.
Talking more sport around the Limestone Coast, it was a blinder of a weekend for the Pioneers at Woollandup. Double header. First game, Saturday night, 141 Pioneers, 85, defeated the Frankston Blues, 53. They backed it up Sunday afternoon, the 141 Pioneers, 67, defeating the Ballarat Miners, 64, in what was an absolute cracker of a game. The KSEC Rural Supplies Pioneers, both games on the weekend. First of all, Saturday night, the Pioneers, 93, defeating the Frankston Blues, 87, and the KSEC Rural Supplies Pioneers, 94, lost to the Ballarat Miners, 105 on Sunday. Now, there was more sport going on across the Limestone Coast that we want to talk about. And first of all, let's talk netball. Mid-Southeast Netball League, round one for 2024. Kongerong 35 lost to Mount Burr 45. Glencoe 59 defeated Hatherley 39. Tantanoola 53 defeated Robe 51 in a close game. And Port Macdonald 34 lost to Kalangadoo 56. In K&T Netball, round one action once again. Border Districts 45 defeated Kingston 39. Bordertown 39 lost to Keith 49. And Kybe Bolite 40 lost to Lucendale 49. Panola 36 lost to Mundulla 53. And Padthaway 39 lost to Narracourt 58. Now, there will be a whole lot of sport to talk about. Next weekend, the Limestone Coast Football Netball League gets underway, replacing the Western Border for 2024. Cannot wait to be talking about it. Round one action this weekend. Round two for the KNT and, of course, for the Mid-Southeast. And we'll keep you up to date with everything that you need to know from around the Limestone Coast. Monday morning, the Limestone Coast podcast will be out. It's exclusive to listener. Have a great week.